الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. The next way through which a person can become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to have regularity on our tahajjud salah. This was the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, that for the initial part of the night, the Prophet ﷺ used to rest for some time. And then in the last one third of the night, the Prophet ﷺ would get up and he would perform ibadah. He would pray salah. And that salah is called tahajjud. So there are three levels of praying tahajjud salah. One is that a person they rest and then they wake up in the last one third of the night and they pray this salah. That's the most afzal, the ideal level, which all of us should strive for. Then there is a second daraja, which is that if a person expects or anticipates that I might not be able to get up in the last one third of the night, so before sleeping, a person, when they pray their Isha salah, so after Isha, they pray a few rakat as nafil, and that nafil will be counted as tahajjud. It'll be in the hukum of tahajjud, and a person will be rewarded for praying those salah as well, as if that person also prayed the second level of tahajjud. And then there is also a third level, which the ulama have mentioned, that if a person was not able to pray tahajjud at night, wasn't able to get up in the last one third of the night and they prayed their salah, nor did the person pray any extra nawafil after Isha, then after Fajr, before Nisfun Nahar, before the sun is in the middle, yani before the Zawal time begins, before that a person, he can try to pray a few rakat, and this will become like the compensation of the tahajjud that he missed at the night. So the Prophet ﷺ, he would do a lot of mudavamat, had regularity in tahajjud salah, and the Prophet ﷺ would pray this no matter what, whether sickness or health or even tiredness or sleep or any other taklif. This was a particular salah which the Prophet ﷺ would not leave. And that is why we should also try to pray this salah. And whether we pray 2 rakah, 4 rakah, or more than that, we should try to have a habit of praying these 2 rakah, or praying whatever rakah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the tawfiq of praying. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates a hadith from the Prophet ﷺ, that the afzal tareen salah, that the salah which is most meritorious in the sight of Allah after the farais, is the salah of tahajjud. And especially for that person who wants to draw close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wants to attain the qurb of Allah, the closeness of Allah, then this is a salah which is very necessary for us to pray. And many times people ask that, are there shortcuts in deen? Like in dunya, you have these shortcuts where you can travel through airplane, jet plane, and cover many kilometers or miles in a few hours. In the same way, if you want to travel this journey towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we're searching for a shortcut, one shortcut is this tahajjud salah, that for a limited amount of effort that we make at this night time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can grant us his qurb, his closeness. So in Tirmidhi Sharif, there is a hadith where the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very kareeb, is very close to his servants in the last half of the night. أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ رَبُّ مِنَ الْعَبْدِ فِي جَوْفِ اللَّيْلِ الْآخِرِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very akrab, very close, very near to his servants in the last half of the night. And then the Prophet said that if in that time, if you can do zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you can pray some salah, then do so, because that amal will bring you close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this hadith, the Prophet is clearly mentioning that this is a time, the time of tahajjud is a time when it's very easy for a person to attain the qurb and the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in any case, we already did this, that tahajjud is a nafil, and the nawafil are an incredible, tremendous way through which a person can attain the qurb of Allah. Yataqarrabu ilayya abdi bin nawafil hatta uhibbahu. In Sahih Bukhari Sharif, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned this. There's a hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said that a person, he prays this nawafil salah, and through nawafil he can attain the qurb of Allah, and attain such a qurb where Allah says, I begin to love that person, and when I love that person, I become the hands through which he holds, I become the eyes through which he sees, I become the ear through which he listens, I become the feet through which he walks. So we can understand the hadith also in this context of tahajjud, that tahajjud being a nafil salah, if we can have regularity on this nafil salah, we can attain so much qurb of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself is mentioning that I become the eyes, the ear, the feet of that person. And then if you look at this hadith, which is a very beautiful hadith, where the Prophet ﷺ mentioned three things. Three things are mentioned here in this hadith. Three in'amat or blessings. Thalathatun yuhibbuhumullahu. That the three people, that the first blessing they get is yuhibbuhumullah. That Allah loves them. Allah loves them. That's the first thing. So this is of a series, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. So this hadith becomes relevant that Allah loves such people, loves this kind of a person. But interestingly, two other things are mentioned. Number one, number two, wayazhaku ilayhim, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will smile at them. So up till now, we were looking at those categories of people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves them, and simply Allah loves them, Allah is muhabbat for them, they become the beloved of Allah. This type of a person is so special, so beloved to Allah, that not only does Allah love him, but yadhaku ilayhim, Allah will smile at them. And then number three, wayastabshir bihim, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will wayastabshiru bihim, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be happy to see them. Allah will be happy with them, will be pleased with them. So Allah will love them, Allah will smile before them, and Allah will be pleased with them, Allah will be happy with them. And one of those categories is that person who has, the Prophet said, who has a beautiful spouse, imra'atun hasanatun, and a very comfortable bed, very soft, comfortable bed to sleep on. And then that person leaves that bed and leaves his spouse in the middle of the night and comes on the musalla, comes before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and prays tahajjud salah. And about such a person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so happy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does zikr of that person to the angels, that look, this person, if he wanted, he had this beautiful spouse with him, he could have given into that desire and spent time with his partner. And he had this comfortable bed on which he could sleep, but he sacrificed his desire for his spouse. He sacrificed his desire for sleep, and he came to the musalla in order to pray to me. What enabled him to stand in front of me is that this person has muhabbat in his heart for me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves this person so much that Allah ta'ala does a tazkira of that person in the gathering of the angels. And not only that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala smiles at such a person. Allah is pleased with such a person. Allah has muhabbat for such a person. Allah says if he wanted, he could have continued sleeping. But he doesn't do so because he has muhabbat in his heart for me. And Allah does qadr of that muhabbat. And also, the Prophet said that, إِذَا ذَهِكَ رَبُّكَ إِلَىٰ عَبْدٍ فِي الدُّنْيَا, Then any person, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala smiles at that person in this dunya, and if the person does some amal, and that amal is so azim, so great, so tremendous that it causes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to smile upon them, then fala hisab alayhi, on the day of akhirah there'll be no hisab on that person. Allah will not take hisab kitab of such a person on the day of qiyamah. That person who did such a beautiful amal that it caused Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to smile. So this is that amal that if a person rises and they wake up in the middle, and this could actually be one of the intentions through which a person can, for those who are not married, to marry someone who's a beautiful, right? Marry someone who's beautiful so that we can do amal on this ayat, that we can leave our beautiful spouse in comfortable bed in the middle of the night to get up and pray to Allah Ta'ala and get the sawab of this, that Allah will love us, Allah will smile at us. And in fact, in the same hadith, there is also mentioned another person who was traveling with the with in a safar with a group of people, and then they reached a particular place where they wanted to rest for some time in the night. They pitched their camp, they pitched their tents, and all of them, they're so tired that they go to sleep. But this one person, he is also extremely tired and sleepy, but he doesn't go to sleep. He makes wudu, lays down the musalla, and then spends the night in prayer, standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves this person as well. And Allah ta'ala mentions this person in the gathering of the angels that, look, this person is also tired like the other person. He is also sleepy like the other is sleeping in the night. This person can also go to sleep, but he has muhabbat in his heart for me, and that muhabbat makes him rise up at night and come on the musalla, and he's praying tahajjud. Allah Ta'ala loves such a person. Allah Ta'ala does tazkira of that person in the gathering of the angels. So in both the stories, both are people who are loved by Allah. Allah mentions them in the gathering of the angels. And what we find common is that these are people who sacrifice their desire in order to rise up at night and pray to Allah Ta'ala in the middle of the night. They prayed tahajjud. So this is such a beloved amal in the sight of Allah, that you become the beloved of Allah, you get the smile of Allah, and you get the pleasure of Allah. And when you get the smile of Allah, that means that Allah will not take hisab and kitab of that person on the day of Qiyamah. In one hadith, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sir, tell me such an amal that if I regularly do that amal, I can enter into Jannat. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that feed the poor, have husni suluk with your relatives, and be good with your relatives, and when people are sleeping, rise up in the middle of the night and pray tahajjud salah. And with these amal, you can enter into Jannat with salamati, with peace and itminan. So this is an amal through which a person can get easy entry, peaceful entry into Jannat if you have regularity on praying tahajjud. In another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that there are certain houses in Jannah which are so pure, so like they're crystal clear, and they're illuminated that you can see, if you're standing inside, you can see the outside, and if you're outside, you can see the inside. And Hazrat Abu Malik Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he asked that, Ya Rasulullah, who are those fortunate people who will get these houses in Jannah? And the Prophet ﷺ said that those people, one of them, are those people who rise in the middle of the night and they pray their tahajjud salah. So we should try to revive this sunnah in our life as well. The Prophet ﷺ said that whoever has a habit of praying tahajjud and they rise up at that time, that person will never be namurad. That person will never be unsuccessful, because that is a time for the qubuliyat of du'as. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is qurb, it's very easy to attain the qurb of Allah. Allah ta'ala descends on the lowest of heavens, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is announcing. There is an announcement that is being made at that time, that is there anyone who is asking for anything that I can give it to that person? Is there anyone who is making tawbah and seeking forgiveness that I can accept tawbah and grant forgiveness to that person? And this elan, this announcement, continues all the way till the time for a fajr. Now it's such a blessed time But many of us, we sleep through that time. If anyone can make a habit of being awake at that time and doing some ibadah, praying tahajjud, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's very easy to get these ni'mat from Allah. That's the time when Allah ta'ala wants to give. Our tragedy is that we miss that time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is wanting to give, when Allah ta'ala is announcing that take it from me, I'm willing to give. Is there anyone who wants to ask for anything that I can give it to him? We miss that opportunity, we miss that window. And then when the time is over, then throughout the day we are asking Allah. We are asking Allah that Allah, I want this, I want that. We missed that opportunity, but Allah Ta'ala was willing to give it to us. And then for the other times of the day, we're not sure whether we'll get what we want or not. So an intelligent person would be that who tries to capitalize on that window of opportunity. Make some mujahid, that it's not much, to rise up in the last part of the night to. Doesn't have to be for you rise, wake up 1 hour before, even half an hour before, a person wakes up and then pray a few rakat and you can get your name in the people who prayed tahajjud salah. Imam Shafi rahmatullah, he says that a dua that a person makes at the time of tahajjud is like an arrow which never misses its mark. It's an arrow which will never miss its mark. Yani, those duas are guaranteed kabul from Allah, kabul by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a time when whatever we ask Allah, Allah will give it to us. If we ask about the dunya, Allah will give dunya. If we ask about akhirah, Allah will give akhirah. If we ask Allah from Allah, we'll get Allah Ta'ala. This is that time which is there in the last third of the night. And when a person, if we don't take it from Allah during the night, then we won't be able to give to others during the day. That's how it works. That if you need to give benefit others, we need to first take from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. We take the treasures from Allah and then we distribute those treasures to people during the day. We take that qurb and closeness and attachment with Allah and then we're able to dispense part of that love of Allah to other people as well. Share that knowledge with other people, share that love with other people, share that ma'rifat with other people. So that's our time. Especially for those who are doing work of deen, those who wish to do work of deen or want to do work of deen or are doing work of deen, that's a time to take from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we present our platter to Allah and take from Allah, and then when we take from Allah, then throughout the day we can give to other people as well. We can do khidmat to deen. Allah will put barakah in that khidmat. Allah will put barakah in that effort that we are doing. Otherwise, if we don't take from Allah ta'ala, then what will we give to other people? Will be empty ourselves. An empty person cannot give anything. So we should understand that this is something which is our need. That's why the Prophet ﷺ, he would pray tahajjud, and the Prophet ﷺ would do long tilawat at this time of tahajjud. In one riwayah, the Prophet ﷺ said that person who has a habit of praying tahajjud salah, that person's face will be very beautiful on the day of Qiyamah. The more tahajjud the person prays, the more beauty and husn jamal will be on the face, noor will be on that face of that person on the day of Qiyamah. And this is why the Prophet sometimes he would address the Sahaba ikram and he would give nasihat that, oh Sahaba, you should pray tahajjud. Sometimes in Tirmidhi Sharif, there's a riwayah where the Prophet said to the Sahaba that you should pray tahajjud because this was the way of the pious people before you. And this is a way through which you can attain the qurb of Allah. And this is a way through which you can have a compensation, a kafara for your sins. And tahajjud is that salah which prevents a person from falling into sins. So four or five things that are mentioned, that this is the way of the pious people before, the pious people in the earlier communities, they used to pray tahajjud. And this is a zariya, a means through which we can attain the closeness of Allah. It's a kafara, a compensation for our sins, and it's something which stops a person from falling into sins. That's why we should pray this tahajjud salah. In one hadith, it comes the Prophet This is in Sunan Nisa'i, that whoever wakes up, so this hadith which is on the board is about someone who leaves his partner and stands up and prays Salah, that person becomes the beloved of Allah. There is another hadith which is also beautiful, that the Prophet said that whoever wakes up in the night and then they also wake their wife, they wake their spouse, and then both of them, they go and they pray Tahajjud Salah. They pray two rakat or whatever, how many rakat they can, they pray Tahajjud at that time. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will write their names among those who do zikr of Allah ta'ala abundantly. Dhakirin Allah kaseeran wa dhakirat. That these are the people who remember Allah ta'ala abundantly. Their names are written down in that list as well. So we can make an intention of this as well. That we will rise up at night and we both, husband and wife, they will pray Tahajjud Salah. And in this way, we can get our names written down on that list of Zakirin Allah Kathiran wa Zakirat. Then there is also another hadith where the Prophet said that Allah Subhanahu will ask the angels that what is it that is making these people rise up at night and pray Tahajjud? And the angels, they will reply that, Ya Allah, they have hope in that thing which is with you, yani Jannat. They're hopeful of getting entry into Jannah. And they have fear about that thing which is with you, yani the azab of Jahannam. Yani they fear going into Jahannam. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to the angels that indeed I make you witness that I will give them what they're hopeful for, yani I'll give them Jannah and I'll save them, protect them from that which they fear, yani the punishment of Jahannam. So tahajjud is the habit of the Salihin. It's the way of the pious. There is no wali of Allah. No one has become a wali of Allah, a friend of Allah, except that they attain that wilayat by praying tahajjud salah. One cannot become close to Allah, a friend of Allah, attain ranks of wilayat, closeness, intimacy, proximity with Allah, except that we have this attribute of praying tahajjud salah. In the whole history of this ummah, any person, if you pick any person, if you look at their lives, you will see that if they attained this rank of wilayat and closeness with Allah, you will find tahajjud as a constant rock, as a foundation in their life. Tahajjud was there, consistency in tahajjud salah. And sometimes it happens that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would make them open their eyes at the time of tahajjud. No matter how tired they are, no matter how sleepy they are, it's automatic, it's a built-in mechanism that their eyes will open up and Allah will give them tawfiq to pray tahajjud. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, no, he has given, explained this hadith in a much more detail. Mentions that when there is a last one third of the night remains, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he descends on the lowest of heavens. And Allah Ta'ala says that, is there anyone who makes dua to me that I can accept that person's dua? Is there anyone who asks anything that I can give it to him? Is there anyone who seeks forgiveness that I can forgive that person? Then in the hadith it comes, when this night happens, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala divides the angels into three groups. The first group, Allah Ta'ala tells them that fala fala person, I don't like that person is disobedient, so I don't want this person to wake up at the time of tahajjud and ask me anything. I don't want to give anything to that person, so go to that person and be with that person and put that person to sleep, deep sleep, so that person is not able to wake up and make any dua at this time. So this is that first person who is not even able to wake up at that time, because Allah doesn't want to give anything to that person. Then the second group of angels, they are told, actually, this first group, is what we should be worried about. When these angels, they put that person to sleep, then the person is not able to wake up at that. So what we should think is that we should never think that I wasn't able to wake up at the time of tahajjud. Rather, we should think that Allah did not want to wake me up at that time. And if you think like that, then it's going to have an impact. Otherwise, if I say I didn't wake up at for tahajjud, all of us will raise our hands, fine, no problem. If I say Allah did not wake me up at tahajjud, Allah did not want to see my face at the time of tahajjud, now we are scared. So that's how we should think. That whatever I done, that Allah doesn't want to see me at that time when, which is the time of the beloveds of Allah. Allah doesn't want to see my face in those, in that list. Then the second group, Allah tells them, the second group of angels, that go, there is a falah person who is my beloved. And flap your wings and wake that person so that this person can wake, pray the tahajjud, he can ask from me. And when he will ask from me, I'll give it to him. So these are those people who are able to wake up for tahajjud, they pray, they make dua, and Allah gives it to them. And then there is a third jamaat, third group of angels. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to them that fala fala person is my beloved. I have a lot of love. He's my muqarrab, my maqbool servant. And I have so much muhabbat for that person because he does work of deen throughout the day. Throughout the day, he's doing work of deen, inviting people. He is busy. So go to that person and change his side, change his karvat. If he's sleeping on the right side, make him sleep on the left. He slept, if left, then right. And when you change the karvat, when you change the side on which he's sleeping, so that person will wake, his eyes will open. And then if he wishes to rise up and pray tahajjud, he can do so. And if he wishes to go to sleep, then he can do that. I will be razi with him either way. Even on his sleep, I will give him the reward for tahajjud. Yani their sleep can become tahajjud. Allahu Akbar. Their sleep can become better than our salah. So we should imagine that if we are not able to wake up at the time of tahajjud, we shouldn't say that I wasn't able to wake up. Rather, we should try that what have I done that Allah doesn't want to see me at that time. Achha, another point to remember about tahajjud is that we are not saying that you wake up 1 hour before azan, but at least maybe 15 minutes or 20 minutes before azan, if you can arise, if you can wake up and then make wudu. And then after that, pray either 2 rakat or 4 rakat tahajjud and shorter rakat. Doesn't We don't need to pray long surahs as well. If you can do this, that is enough. Those 2-4 rakat is enough. And our names will be written down in those who prayed tahajjud. But we should try to develop this habit, especially in this month of Ramadan. Even if it's praying 2 or 4 rakat, but pray tahajjud, and we should do so consistently. Zaruri. If Allah gives us the tawfiq, we should be grateful to Allah Ta'ala. Some people have spent more time in the restroom, so we can wake up slightly early, right? Instead of 10, 15 minutes, wake up 20 minutes, 25 minutes before, and spend whatever time needs to be spent in the washroom, and then come and then pray salah, 2 rakah, 4 rakah. The maqsad is that before azan, before the time expires, we are able to pray 2-4 rakat and make dua to Allah Ta'ala. And that is enough. That will be our level of tahajjud and will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should understand this point here. I'll explain with an example that if there is a person who opens an account in a bank and he deposits five, let's say $500 in that account. So now he has $500 in that account and his name will be written in the account holders. If the owners of the bank, they decide that we want to create a list of all those people who have an account with us. So in that list, where on the top of that list, you will have the billionaires and the multi-billionaires and the multi-millionaires who have kept so much money in that bank. Then you'll have the people who have kept thousands, tens of thousands, and then thousands. And somewhere on that list, our name will be there because I kept $500 in that bank. My name will be in that list because my account is open. My 500 rupees are with that bank. Even though the amount is less, but my name is there in that list. Exactly in the same way, when the list of the beloveds of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being compiled, on that list will be people like Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba Ikram, people like Hassan Basri rahmatullah alayh would pray the entire night. Rabia Basriya rahmatullah alayh, who would pray the entire night in tahajjud. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, who would pray Fajr Salah with the wudu of Isha, spend the entire night in tahajjud. They're in that list where you have people like them, right? People who are multi-billionaires. We will also have our names at somewhere down the list. Our name will be in that list of the lovers of Allah, the beloveds of Allah. So if you can have this habit of praying 2 rakat or 4 rakat, short rakat, every student, every one of us, we should have this desire in our heart that I want to put my name in the list of those who pray tahajjud. If we cannot wake up 1 hour before, no problem, 15 minutes. 15 minutes is all that it takes to wake up, make wudu, pray 2 rakah or 4 rakah, and that is it. Our names will be written down in that list of the ashikin, the lovers of Allah. And then is it possible from the rahmat of Allah that such a person will be made to stand in the line of the enemies of Allah on the day of Qiyamah? That's not possible. If a person every day, if they have a habit of praying 4 rakat nafil tahajjud, then they're putting their name in the list of the lovers of Allah, the beloveds of Allah, then on the day of Qiyamah, how is it possible that the angels, Allah will say to the angels that go put this person in the list of Allah's enemy? It's not possible. Yakinan Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make this person stand among the lovers of Allah, among the beloveds of Allah. Allah will reward that person. So we should understand the importance of this. And like I mentioned at the start, that there are 3 ways in which we can do this. Ideally, we should try to wake up in the last 1/3 of the night and pray some rakat, 2 or 4, and get the sawab. And let's say on those days when maybe a person is sleeping late or they know that I will not be able to wake up in the last 1/3 of the night, then with our Isha, after praying our Isha Salah and our Witr, we pray a few rakat combined with our Isha. Pray 2 rakat or 4 rakat at the time when you're praying Isha, and make niyat of tahajjud. Make niyat that these are nafil salah. Allah Ta'ala will give us some sawab of tahajjud for this amal as well, for this level as well. And then let's suppose a third scenario is that we weren't able to pray tahajjud in the last 1/3 of the night, nor did we pray any extra nawafil at the time of Isha, and we spent the entire night and now we woke up, we prayed Fajr, and now we are worried that I didn't pray anything at night time. So the ulama, they have written that if you can pray 2 rakat or 4 rakat before zawal, yani during the day, after Fajr, before zawal, yani if Ishraq or Chasht, if you can pray 2 rakat, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us the reward for the ibadat of that night as well. So even if a person on those days when you accidentally miss the tahajjud, we shouldn't miss it completely or entirely. We should pay it. We should pray it. We should pray at the time of Ishraq so that our name is written in that list. You look at how Kareem, how Rahim Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us such an opportunity. Allah ta'ala is giving us an opportunity that if at the start you can do this, you can do it at the start as well. Pray some rakat at that time. If you can pray in the middle, then pray in the middle. And if that's also not possible, then akhir may at the very end do this and your name will be written. So after today, if we wish that we express our love to Allah Ta'ala, so we should try to pray tahajjud in at least one of these 3 ways. In one of these 3 ways, laziman, we should make an effort. So either we pray tahajjud before Salat Fajr, 1/2 an hour before we wake up, and we pray 2 or 4 rakat at that time, number one. Or we pray some extra nawafil at the time of Isha. And if these both options are not there, then at least with our Ishraq, after Fajr, when we pray Ishraq, we can pray a few rakat at that time. And if you can pray tahajjud at the time of tahajjud, then subhanAllah, that's nurun ala nur. So we should develop this habit. That's the time for the rahmati of Allah, the barakati of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the time for barakat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'll end with one story. This raat, when a person does tahajjud, you get barakat in their life. Hazrat Ibrahim bin Adam rahmatullah alayh, someone asked him that what is barakat? What is baraka? So he replied that how many offsprings does a goat have in a year? And they replied that one or two child. Then he asked that what about the dog? How many birds does a dog have, a female dog has during the year? And the person, the student replied that sometimes 8, sometimes 10, sometimes 12 in one birth. Then he asked another question that how many goats are slaughtered every single day? He replied that Hazrat, hundreds of thousands of goats are slaughtered every day. And then he asked that how many dogs are ziba are slaughtered every day? He said that none of the dogs are slaughtered. Then he said that have you ever seen the goats, how they move, and because your river hota, right? The herd. How many goats are there? He said, there are many, so many. And then he asked that, have you seen the dogs, how they go? How many are there in their group? He said, I've seen like three or four or five maximum. Then Hazrat Ibrahim bin Adam rahmatullah explained that look, the goats, their birth by nature is less. They're sacrificed more, whereas the dogs, their birds are much more than the goats, plus they're also not sacrificed. And despite that, if you look at the group of goats, if you look at the river, right, the herd, you will look at them and you will see so many goats in that group. So many goats are there, right? This is called barakat. This is called barakah. And then the student asked the next question that Hazrat, why is there a barakah in goats? And the Sheikh replied that the goats, they sleep in the first half of the night. And then in the last half of the night, they wake up and they start doing meh, meh, meh. Whereas the dogs, they're barking in the first half of the night, and when the time for barakah begins, they become ghafil and go to sleep. And that is why there is barakah in the life of goats, and there is bebarakati, there is lack of barakah in the life of dogs. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to understand the lesson from this story. May Allah ta'ala grant us barakah in our life. And the way to get barakah is to wake up at the time of barakah. So may Allah ta'ala grant all of us tawfiq to pray tahajjud salah. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Shall I make dua? سبحان ربي الوهاب اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين یا اللہ یا رب کریم آپ کے عاجز مسکین سے بندے ہیں اللہ ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما ہماری خطاؤں کو درگزر فرما ہمارے عیبوں کی پردہ پوشی فرما یا رب کریم یا اللہ جو گناہ ہم نے راتوں میں کیا ان کو معاف فرما دن میں کیا ان کو معاف فرما اللہ جو گناہ یاد ان کو معاف فرما جو کر کے بھول گیا اللہ ان کو معاف فرما یا رب کریم یا اللہ گناہوں کی ظلمت کو دور فرما گناہوں کی وجہ سے جو دوری ہے اللہ اس دوری کو ختم فرما اللہ گناہوں کی وجہ سے جو سختی ہے اس سختی کو ختم فرما یا رب کریم گناہوں کی وجہ سے جو پریشانیاں ہیں ان پریشانیوں کو ختم فرما یا اللہ اپنی رحمت سے اللہ گناہوں سے پاک صاف زندگی نصیب فرما اللہ تقوی والی زندگی نصیب فرما یا رب کریم ہم گناہ نہیں کرنا چاہتے لیکن ہمارا نفس ہمارا ہے شیطان پیچھے پڑا ہے، یا رب کریم ہمارے نفس کو نفس مطمئنہ بنا دیجئے، اللہ شیطان سے پیچھے چھڑا دیجئے، یا رب کریم اپنی رحمت سے ہمیں خوب عبادت اور نیکی کی توفیق نصیب فرما، اللہ زیادہ عبادت کرنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما، اللہ رمضان مبارک کا مہینہ، اللہ آدھا مہینہ تو گزر چکا ہے، اللہ آخری 10-11 دن رہ گئے، یا رب کریم یہ مہینہ شروع ہوا تھا، اللہ ہم نے خوب نیتیں خوب امید تھی کہ مہینہ آئے گا اور ہم بہت عبادت کریں گے، ہم یہ بھی کریں گے وہ بھی کریں گے، اللہ یہ مہینہ ہمارے ہاتھ سے پھسلتا چلا جا رہا ہے، یا رب کریم یہ اللہ میں قدر کرنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما، اللہ جو وقت باقی ہے اللہ اس کو غنیمت سمجھنے کی توفیق عطا فرما، اللہ اس میں ہمیں عبادت صحیح معنوں میں کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرما، اللہ عبادت کر کر کے تھکنے کی توفیق عطا فرما اور تھک تھک کر عبادت کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرما، یا رب کریم یا اللہ ہمیں تہجد کی پابندی نصیب فرما، اللہ تہجد پہ استقامت نصیب فرما، اللہ ہمارا نام بھی تہجد گزاروں میں شامل فرما، اللہ ہمیں بھی آخری پہر کی مناجات کی لذت نصیب فرما، ہمیں بھی آخری پہر کے استغفار کی لذت نصیب فرما، ہمیں بھی آخری پہر کے دعاؤں کی لذت نصیب فرما، اللہ ہمیں بھی آخری پہر کے اندر آپ سے راز و نیاز سے باتیں کرنے کی توفیق اور اس کی لذت نصیب فرما، یا رب کریم ہمارے لیے تہجد کو پڑھنا آسان فرما، اللہ جو آپ کے بندے ہیں، اللہ جو تہجد پڑھتے ہیں، اللہ آپ کے محبوب بندے ہیں، اللہ آپ ان کے چہرے کو اس وقت دیکھنا پسند فرماتے ہیں، تبھی تو اللہ آپ ان کو توفیق دیکھتے ہیں، یا رب کریم یا اللہ ہم جانتے ہیں کہ ہم نے گناہ کر کے نافرمانی کر کے آپ کو ناراض کر دیا، اللہ اس وجہ سے آپ ہمارے چہرے کو اس وقت دیکھنا پسند نہیں فرماتے، یا رب کریم ہم منانے کے لیے حاضر ہیں، اللہ آپ مان جائیے، اللہ ہم منانے کے لیے حاضر ہیں، اللہ اپنے گناہوں پہ نادم اور شرمندہ ہیں، یا رب کریم یا اللہ آپ معاف کر دیجئے، اللہ معاف بھی تو آپ ہی کو کرنا ہے، اللہ معاف فرما دیجئے، اللہ رحم فرما دیجئے، اللہ ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف کر دیجئے، اللہ آئندہ کے لیے ہمیں نیک و کاری تقوی والی زندگی عطا فرما دیجئے، اللہ آپ مان جائیے، اللہ مان جائیے، اللہ راضی ہو جائیے، اللہ اپنی رضا عطا فرما دیجئے، اللہ اپنی توفیق عطا فرما دیجئے، اللہ توفیق سے ہمیں تہجد والوں میں ہمارا نام شامل فرما دیجئے، پوری زندگی اللہ استقامت کے ساتھ تہجد پڑھنے کی توفیق عطا فرما، یا رب کریم یا اللہ ایسے بندے ہیں یہ اللہ جن سے آپ محبت کرتے ہیں، اللہ ہمیں بھی ایسے اپنے محبوب بندوں میں شامل فرما لیجئے، اللہ یہ آپ کے ایسے بندے ہیں اللہ جن کو آپ مسکرا کے دیکھتے ہیں، اللہ ہمیں بھی اللہ یہ توفیق عطا فرما دیجئے، ہمیں بھی اللہ ایسی سعادت عطا فرما دیجئے، اللہ ہمیں بھی مسکراہٹ کی نظر سے دیکھ لیجئے، اللہ ایک محبت کی نظر ہم پر بھی ڈال دیجئے، اللہ ایک مسکراہٹ والی نظر ہم پر بھی ڈال دیجئے، اللہ ایک رحمت والی نظر ہم پر بھی ڈال دیجئے، یا رب کریم ہم نے دنیا میں دیکھا ہے اللہ ماں کو انسان منا لیتا ہے، باپ کو منا لیتا ہے، جب مان جاتے ہیں تو وہ محبت کے ساتھ نظر ڈال دیتے ہیں، وہ محبت اور رحمت اور شفقت کی نظر بچوں پہ ڈال دیتے ہیں، یا رب کریم ہم بھی آپ کو منا رہے ہیں، اللہ آپ مان جائیے، اللہ آپ تو ماں باپ سے زیادہ جلدی مان جاتے ہیں، یا رب کریم اپنی رحمت سے مان جائیے اور پھر ہمیں اپنا فضل عطا کر دیجئے، اپنے رحمت کی نگاہ عطا کر دیجئے، اپنی ایک محبت والی نگاہ ہم پر ڈال دیجئے، یا رب کریم اپنی شفقت والی نظر ہم پر ڈال دیجئے، ہم پر اپنی نرمی والی نظر ڈال دیجئے، اللہ ہمیں اپنا بنا دیجئے، ہمیں اپنوں میں شامل فرما لیجئے، ہمیں اپنوں میں زندگی گزارنے کی توفیق عطا فرما دیجئے، ہمیں اپنوں میں جینا اور مرنا عطا فرما، یا رب کریم جیسا آپ ہمیں دیکھنا چاہتے ہیں اللہ ہمیں ویسا بنا دیجئے، بننے کی توفیق عطا فرما دیجئے، یا رب کریم آپ کو آپ کے تو لاکھوں کروڑوں اربوں خربوں بندے ہیں، اللہ ہمارا تو آپ کے سوا اور کوئی نہیں، یا رب کریم مان جائیے، یا رب کریم آپ ہمارے اکھلوتے رب ہیں، اکھلوتے پروردگار ہیں، یا رب کریم یا اللہ اللہ رحمت کا معاملہ فرما دیجئے، اللہ ہم برے بھی ہیں لیکن آپ تو اچھے ہیں، اللہ اچھے تو اپنی اچھائی کو کبھی نہیں چھوڑتے، اللہ ہمارے ساتھ اچھائی والا معاملہ فرما دیجئے، ہمارے کیے کو معاف کر دیجئے، اللہ آئندہ کے لیے اللہ پرہیزگاری تقوی والی زندگی عطا فرما دیجئے، یا رب کریم یا اللہ 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 اپنی رضا اپنی لقا عطا فرما، یا رب کریم جو مانگا ہے اللہ اس سے بہتر عطا فرما، ہمارے آنے والے وقت کو گزرے ہوئے وقت سے بہتر فرما، اللہ ہمارے آنے والے دنوں کو گزرے ہوئے دنوں سے بہتر فرما، اللہ ہمارے آنے والے سال کو گزرے ہوئے سال سے بہتر فرما، اللہ ہماری آنے والی زندگی کو گزری ہوئی زندگی کا کفارہ بنا، یا رب کریم یا اللہ ہمارے آنے والے وقت کو بہترین حصہ بنا، اللہ آخرت ہمارا جو زندگی کا آخری وقت ہے اس کو ہماری زندگی کا سب سے بہترین خوشیوں بھرا خوشیوں والا حصہ بنا. یا رب کریم, یا اللہ اپنی رحمت اللہ ہمارے ساتھ شامل حال فرما, قدم قدم پہ اللہ اپنی برکت شامل حال فرما, اللہ بے برکتی سے ہماری حفاظت فرما. یا رب کریم ہماری ان دعاؤں کو اپنی رحمت سے قبول فرما. صلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی حبیب ہی خیر خلق ہی محمد و علی آلہ و صحبہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین.